There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A game. With all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. Lots of great reasons to bet on FanDuel Sportsbook. For me, it's their great odds and markets for the MLB, PGA Tour, tennis, football futures, and so much more. They've got awesome new and existing user promotions, which you hear about every episode here on Jenkins and Jones. They're America's number one sportsbook. They're easy to use, safe and secure. You get your winnings fast. And it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same-game parlay, and you can discover the most popular same-game parlays each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, to get started now. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, July 18th, and we're back, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Feel the burn.
Back from the vid. From the fires of hell, we made it.
Thank you for thanks everyone for being patient with us, man. We had some COVID running around the entire crew and associates. We'll Jesus talk about Christ. It a little bit more later in the show, but appreciate you bearing with us. It's really nice to see that, like, I think the people who are tweeting us about why there weren't shows last week were like, hey, like, hope everything's okay. We love you guys.
We know you were working hard during playoffs, but, you know, we miss you. But take your rest. You earned it.
So fucking sweet.
Our listeners are nice as hell, man.
Golly. That was so kind.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all. I didn't see not one. Where the fuck is the podcast?
Right. I had a homie.
You cowards.
I had a homie who hit me from Johannesburg, South Africa. And he was like, you know, your pot usually drops at this time, Johannesburg time. What's been going on here? So that's cool. We got a bunch of nice people around the fucking globe who listen to us, bro.
Yeah, well, we do appreciate y'all for real. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friends who were just talking, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's that, Bubba's?
And I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And look, we're a LeBron podcast. I think everyone knows that.
Are we going to do it? No, are we going to do it?
There's lots of things to admire about LeBron James, guys. He's a great basketball player. He's a great family man. His story is incredible. I think he's one of the few genuine role models out there in the world. And he is also the greatest liar in history. And we have to talk about it.
World-class capper. Capradonna. But yeah, he's bro, these motherfucking clips from the most recent episode of The Shop have been fucking hilarious. LeBron is really one of those dudes. Like, there was a clip where he asked Maverick. Maverick was talking about some racist shit that happened in soccer. And Bron was like, oh yeah, I never heard of that. Can you go into that? And then he
talk about that. Right? Talk about that.
Yeah,
explain that.
Explain that. And then Maverick talked about the shit. And by the end of the story, LeBron was completing his sentences like, oh yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
It got out of hand.
No, he said, and this is his tell. His tell is always the double sentence. He said, it got out of hand. It got real out of hand.
While with legs crossed, drinking tea, nigga. I'm like, bro, this is the first time Bron has been getting fired the fuck up. And I went to the group chat like, yo, they flaming our nigga, and it's fucking hilarious. Yeah. Like, I loved everything people were saying, dog. every clip that I saw was hilarious.
My favorite Bron live. So this episode of The Shop was special for sure. Clearly, what was the other one? There was one other really good one.
It was some bland ass cliche. What was that shit? And he was like,
I live by that.
The
soccer player said, "My coach says you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable."
And he was like, "Oh yeah. That's the most important thing in my life that I go by. Yeah,
that's my favorite phrase."
He said, "That's my favorite saying." That's my favorite saying.
I have never seen Bron say that once in my life. I'm gonna do a King James Twitter search. Comfortable, uncomfortable. See if anything pops. Because Bron does have a few favorite quotes. Like, he runs that fucking Teddy Roosevelt man in the arena shit into the ground. Like, we know he loves that. But I have never seen the comfortable, uncomfortable shit. Let me do some investigative journalism. God, right.
The man in the arena quote is the original lions, not sheep. Like, people who are like work at call centers have that man in the arena quote up in their fucking cubicle. Like, you know what
it's
I mean?
Some
like,
real
the
shit, though.
People don't understand what it's like to live in the spotlight.
Yeah, but it's some real shit about it, man. Who gives a fuck about what other people say about you? That's basically what it boils down to. Like, you out there doing the work, fuck them. So let me.
It's real shit. It's just funny because I've seen LeBron James, Tina Fey, and people who work at the fucking H&R Block customer center all use that quote and feel similarly inspired by it, you know?
No results.
He has a lot of Twitter followers.
No results for From King James, Comfortable, Uncomfortable. So, I don't know, Ron.
Damn. No smoking other classic. Other
he
classic
says it around Maverick
lies.
A lot, man. He says it around Maverick a lot. Maverick knows. He looked dead at Maverick like, to co-sign it. Right, Maverick?
Right. Maverick has backed up a lot of Bron's lies. Like, I get brother's that way. My little brother knows if we're with people and I'm telling a wild story about our childhood and I make it 10% wilder, he's...
Yep. You gotta make it 10% wilder, though. You gotta make it 10%. There's certain people that I know are gonna lie to me. As long as it's interesting, I don't care, and it doesn't hurt anybody. Bron's one of those people who just tells lies, but they're not the lies that actually matter. You know what I mean? So I think it, man. You know what I'm saying?
What's fascinating?
Have a little fun with it.
Yeah, truthfully, liars like Bron, they are great to have a conversation with because they keep the conversation going. You know what I'm saying? They will lie to keep the conversation in motion, and that's kind of appreciated. I ain't gonna lie to you.
And if the story's not good, they'll make a story better.
Right.
You know what I mean? For your benefit. Yeah. I'm not mad at that shit. You know what I mean?
I think the thing that's funniest about him being that personality, and I would say I have that personality a little bit too, is he does not need to lie about anything. He has one of the most interesting lives in the history of our species. Like,
right.
But he's still going to help you with your point. He's like, you're on my show. You're saying your coach said this cliche. That's my favorite saying.
Team first all the way, even off the court.
Lying and his kids not giving a fuck that he's LeBron James are the two things that we have to prove that he's still human. You know what I mean? So I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at it.
The internet has brought up this facet of his person. I would also say him singing along the songs he doesn't know the lyrics to is also a very relatable.
Yabba dabba do, no, old Navy, baby.
The yabba dabba do, old Navy.
And Black said, hopping out the limo, no pictures, baby. This motherfucker's a yabba dabba do, sell that old Navy.
Where did Old Navy come from? I forgot that shit existed. That motherfucker said Old Navy.
Oh, shit, bro.
But the internet has brought
yabba
up this,
dabba do.
This part of his personality before. And one of my favorite Bron lies was that he had, I think it was 2 Chainz he was talking to. And he sort of tried to take credit for the invention of the deluxe album.
Right. What if we get the album we already made and we put a few more songs on it and put it back out? I came up with that idea all on my own. Right.
Here's a few more for you for right. taking this journey with me.
Can we say that he, you know, tried to ruin that man's career? That man had, since he EP'd that album, when have you heard about 2 Chainz music?
Yeah.
You know
and
what I'm saying?
And the album was solid. It wasn't a dud or anything. It's just 2 Chainz just ain't got that fastball like he does anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like Pretty Girls Love Trap Music and shit. And he was in his own like in that era. But yeah. He had a good run.
LeBron James, please come tell some lies on Jenkins and
please,
Jones.
Please, man.
In the off season. You can lie about anything you want. We will go along with it so quickly it will fucking shock you.
It'll make your head spin.
I'll finish the lie, my nigga. Like...
I remember seeing you tweet, you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Times.
Multiple times.
Oh, fuck. One thing that was not a lie was that Bron did pull up to the Drew League, which I thought was an incredible move in passive-aggressive front office game management, which is something he's obviously the greatest of all time at. But very special for Bron to pull up to the Drew. I happen to know basically every single person on the team that he played against. special for Deion Wright was the one, Tyler, that everyone was tweeting about. He was the one who was trying to guard him, and he always played with his eyes real wide when he was at St. Bonnie and Mayfair or whatever. And everyone saw that and was like, oh, he had him scared. I was like, no, the Wright brothers just open their eyes real fucking wide when they play basketball for whatever reason. But he did, to your point, Tyler, he'll have something for the rest of his life because that's a career hooper, as good hoopers on that team. And that dude can always say he shook Bron and scored.
Put that man
for
the
rest of his life.
Put that man. He talking his shit on Twitter now if you've seen it. He was like, Bron had 40. I had 20. For every 2 Bron had, I had 1. We almost won. They only beat us by 2. We'd have beat their ass without Bron. And where's the lie? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Facts.
Big facts.
You had DeMar and you had Bron. And by the way, they had Casper Ware, who the Ware family at the Drew League is like.
Casper didn't even shoot,
NBA.
Which was tripping me, bro. Like, Casper got a gun on him. He was like, Bron, do your thing. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen Casper put up 40 at the Drew. Like, on some light work shit.
Every time people talk about how hard it is to make it to the NBA or, you know, like, this dude must be – you know, this dude who's 15th on the roster is trash. I always bring up Casper Ware. He was Conference Player of the Year and Conference Defensive Player of the Year his senior year. He is about as good a hooper as you'll ever see. He put so much muscle on his body that he would cramp up because he went over how much muscle his frame could hold. And he got a summer league look in the NBA.
Dang.
You know what I mean? That dude, he will cook with NBA dudes regularly at the Drew League. His dad is a legend at the Drew League. He's a legend at the Drew League. But, like, if you're in the league, you are a killer. Like,
dog.
I don't care how trash you are. You're a killer.
Pooh Jeter's like that, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, a dude that'll put up 100 on you, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, won't miss a shot when shooting around. And I think he got, like, you know, half a season or a summer league look or something like that. You know what I mean? Bobby Brown, same way. Dudes, I think Bobby Brown put up like 50 at the Drew once. You know what I'm saying? Like, dog, went overseas, averaged like 20-something, 30 points a game. You know, I think he played a season with the Rockets or some shit. A season with the Clippers, you know what I mean? So, these dudes are gods, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's just the league is just hard. I think they're undersized, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, Casper's for sure. That's
Casper's
why
small.
That's for sure. He's really small.
Pooh is like my height, you know what I mean? But,
for sure.
They are a bucket, though, for sure.
But that's the thing is, like, there's lots of buckets out there, and if someone's a 6'3" bucket and you're a 5'9" bucket, it just it is what it is, you know?
Because that 6'3" bucket can at least play defense. You know what I'm saying? It's easy to shoot over 5'11". It's easy to shoot over 5'9". You feel right. me? Like,
well, and that's the crazy thing about Casper. Like, he was Big West Defensive Player of the Year. He was fucking locked down, but you're just not going to lock down 6'6" dudes. Like, they're just not.
Yeah, it's not happening, bro.
It's just not going to happen. No. Tyler, what'd you say? You said if Bron scored 128 on you in a quarter, but you got one bucket on him, that's the end of every argument you're in for the rest
bro,
of your life.
Bro, I'm bringing that up every basketball argument. Whenever things escalate to a point, when I'm arguing basketball with someone, I am laying that big joke on the table. Like, yeah, all right, motherfucker, ask how I did Bron then, since you think you know every motherfucking thing about basketball. I put Bron in the spin cycle. You did it, motherfucker.
Ask the GOAT about me, nigga.
Ask about me.
You know what I'm saying?
Ask LeBron James what I did to that man.
Bron know me? Pull up that one clip of 3 seconds.
You know what I'm saying?
He'd have his phone background. He'd find a way to make a phone background, a video.
Hell,
you know what I mean?
Screen cap it. I already found a way just that quick, nigga. Fuck it. I would have did that shit quick, nigga. Fuck you, man. Shit.
Oh, shit. All right. Well, shout out to the Wright brothers. Shout out to E. Will. Shout out to everyone who they lost by 2 points to DeMar. Bron and Cass, bro. You can't.
Bron,
I mean,
had a very Bron game too. Like, he had for the 40 points, hella assist,
42, 16,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then he missed the free throw at the end to give him a chance to win it. Like, very Bron of Bron, you know what I mean? Argue with the refs right after that, you know?
Oh, and by the way, that's our guy. That was the other clip that went viral, was him arguing with Kevin Cutler, who was the ref. Kevin Cutler is an NBA ref who got to the NBA through the Drew League, but he played in Long Beach State. He's 6'8", and he is about as real a dude as they come. And so people were like, "Oh, look how he's talking to the Drew League ref." I was like, he's not talking to Kevin Cutler any type of way.
He told him to calm his ass down. You saw him give him the calm his ass down hand. Like, got this, bro.
Right.
You fucked up. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with it. You Bron, but you fucked up. You missed the free throw. It is what it is.
So. Accept it. You know, it's fine.
Yeah, accept it.
We all miss free
If he would have lost, if they would have lost, though, oh, God. Would have missed that free throw? Oh, man. He'd had to come back next week. you got to get that stank out your mouth, bro.
I don't care.
Oh,
but what was interesting about that, I watched the first half, and I watched a little bit, like, the end of the game or whatever. It's like, Bron, I mean, like I said, he had a Bron game, but, you know, he was just, like, just doing whatever the fuck he wanted on some play shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, shooting shots he wouldn't normally shoot. You know what I mean? It was like, this is cardio for this nigga. You know what I mean?
He had a move before he missed a three that I'd never seen him make before that was like a backwards drop step. I don't know how to describe it. Like, he was in the corner, and then he did like a spin move in the opposite direction, and the defender was like off the court. Just like, what the fuck was that?
Right. He was just testing shit out, man. You know what I mean? In front of everybody, nigga. NBA.com had this link and all that. It's crazy.
Somebody, I think it might have been Wob, but somebody had tweeted that the midseason tournament, they'd like to see played at, like, the Drew or the Rucker or stuff like that. And Kevin Durant was making fun of him for that opinion. But I actually thought that would be, you know, really an interesting idea to do something, just something different, because other sports are doing that. You know, college football plays, like, they have the bowl game that's played at Yankee Stadium. They play places you don't normally play. Basketball's tried it a little bit, like with the aircraft carrier shit, where they played on the wet floor, which
Weak.
Is not a great idea. But hockey, the only hockey games I watch every year are those outdoor classic ones where they play on a lake. That's the – I love
Under the
that
snow,
shit. Oh,
fucking
man.
Gorgeous.
Beautiful. So I don't know. I'd actually like to see basketball just try and do something. I mean, I know they wouldn't make enough money off the Drew League shit because they couldn't fit enough people in there or whatever. But I'd be interested in them – I'd be more interested in that tournament if it included some different venues or something like that. What did you guys think of that?
I think I totally see where Kevin Durant is coming from, where he's like, motherfucker, please, because these – you can't be putting out max contract guys out on fucking, you know, concrete at the Rucker or, you know, fucking 1998 hardwood at the Drew or whatever that you have. You know what I'm saying? Because when players go to these spots, they're not playing with the notch all the way turned up. You know what I'm saying? They're taking care of themselves. They know they're not playing on like in the best conditions. They're going, you know, half speed. And you asking these guys to go wall to wall in conditions like this, I don't see it. I don't think the players would be for that.
The energy's so much better, though, than the NBA arena. I agree with
all the points, and that's why it will not happen, as well as the point about money, Mike, you know, that you made. I agree with all those, you know what I'm saying? But the energy is just so much better when, like, it's just fucking wall-to-wall, thick in that motherfucker, you know what I mean? Like, it was really fun to see Brian in that space, you know what I mean? At fucking 38, whatever the fuck he is now, you know what I mean? Like, crazy.
Yeah, I Tyler, to Tyler's point, you know, there's 6 rows deep on the baseline watching and filming the game. You can't be running as fast as you can for a loose ball into the mosh pit.
Yeah.
Like, I get it, but it is the energy. I mean, for me personally, you know, when I want to watch a basketball mixtape or highlight or something, I'd rather watch an NBA guy at the Drew League or Kevin Durant. I thought it was funny that Kevin Durant was the one poo-pooing that, because Kevin Durant's Rucker Park appearance,
that might be the YouTube video of
basketball that I've watched the most in my life. Like, that's, and it is, it's a completely different type of energy and atmosphere. But
he hit a shot and everybody's on court. Like, the only, like, what was crazy, when he would go on defense, everybody be on the offensive side. When he go on offense, like, people be, you could see, like, you know, like, the circle of people that are, like, on the court, on the other side of the court, like, that shit is just different energy, bro. You know, it's just different energy, man.
When KD played in the during the lockout year, they had the Drew League Goodman League game I've referenced a couple of times. They had that in the Pyramid.
What court was it in? Was it this one or the old one?
No, it was at the Pyramid at Long Beach State. It holds, like, okay, I don't know, 4,000 people or something like that, and they had like 6,000 people in there. You know what I mean? But it's just different. And, like, some of those dudes, like KD, seems more like himself in some regards in those settings. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just, he is who he is on Twitter. It's just like pure talking shit, pure, I don't know. But Tyler's correct. It's never going to happen. it would be too wonderful for it to happen. So right. It is what it is.
Did you know the shoes that these hoopers hoop in are different from the shoes that they sell at Foot Locker?
I believe.
I learned that like a year and a half ago, bro. You know what I'm saying? From Nate when he was, did he told us about that?
He talked about it on the pod, but I was aware of that and had also noted. He pointed out that they'll take their orthotics out of their shoes before they give the shoes away, because the shoe is like, it's whatever. It's the packaging that the toy came in. You know what I mean? The orthotic is the shit they spend $4,000 on.
That shit fucking blows my mind, dog. It makes so much sense, but I just did not know. You know what I mean? Like, I never even thought about that. You know what I mean?
It's why some of the old school guys really take it personally when people talk about how much more athletic the game is or whatever today, where they're just like, we were hooping in Converse.
Bro.
Dog.
Jordan 1s, playing basketball in Jordan 1s seems like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? You know what I mean?
Bro, when MJ put those on for his last trip to the Garden as a Bull in 98, his feet were bleeding after that game. When he wore the ones, like if you've ever worn the Jordan 8s, those feel like construction boots, bro.
Bro,
and Jordan put up 40 a game in the finals in those fucking clunkers. Yeah,
fucking
man.
Wolverine boots, bro. And he's the only nigga that ever looked good in them, in my opinion. I mean, they're a good looking shoe, but they look big on everybody else's foot but his. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I had the Aqua joints and never could wear them because they looked, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, rocket power shoes, nigga. Like, I had fucking, you know what I'm saying, rollerblades on my fucking feet. But
like the moon shoes. Did y'all ever see the commercials for the moon shoes that had the springs in them?
That's what it felt like. That's what they look. That's what the silhouette looked like. You feel
right?
Like?
You thought like, oh, I'm gonna put these on and I'll jump over my house or whatever. You put them on and you're actually just basically just wearing like platform like stripper shoes. Right. Like,
they're fucking
you're just trying not to sprain your ankle with every step you take.
High heels, the weight of them high heels, fucking but the my heel knees is up. In the front. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
Innovation.
We really grew up in an era where they would give us toys that were like, try not to die using this, idiot.
Right. And I always tried to die, dog. I did all the dumbest shit with every fucking toy.
Okay, I think the only other basketball thing to talk about is we did have something of a conclusion made for now to the DeAndre Ayton saga with the Suns and the Pacers. Pacers made him an offer. It was a generous offer. I think we've all been feeling like the Suns were kind of over it for whatever reason with Ayton, and they ended up matching it pretty quickly. So now they were hesitant to pay the dude, but now they pay the dude, but also told him they don't really fuck with them, I guess. Like, what did the Pacers get out of this, Tyler?
It's so fucking stupid what did the Suns how they handled it. Like, everyone's like, you know, they went ahead and matched because, you know, Ayton would have got more money from the Suns. He would have got like 5 years and like 50 million, 40 million more than the Pacers were able to give him. So they matched the Pacers' offer, and you know, saying they skimmed a year and 40 million off his contract, which with how quickly they signed it, it looked like that was the master plan the whole fucking time. You know what I'm saying? And I can get if you're trying to lowball him, that's still grimy as fuck. But I can get, you know, if you're trying to lowball him, you don't think he's worth 5 years and 40 million more. But I don't get the whole public smear campaign with it, right? If this was how you were going to move, you could have done this in silence. No one would have been, you know,
right.
You didn't have to drag this man through the mud for a whole fucking season about how you didn't want him back in Phoenix. That's the part I don't get.
I was looking at my baby the whole time, bro. I don't give a fuck about this age shit. I'm
honest with you, bro. Can I say that?
Hey, I mean, I don't really give a fuck so either, but the Suns are fucking stupid.
Yeah, the Sun, basically, the long story short, the Suns are stupid. Put Somi on camera, though. He's hogging all the babies.
She about to eat. My bad, dog.
Boo.
My bad. Jeez.
Okay, I want to
talk
about.
Good for Aiden.
I do want to talk about the last sports topic. We don't talk about track and field very much. I love track. That it might be my favorite sport, actually. But no sport ever has self-sabotaged itself at every level the way that track and field does. Did y'all see what happened at the World Championships yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So for our listeners who are not super plugged in with track and field, Devin Allen, world-class hurdler from the United States, was hoping to set a record yesterday, and he got disqualified basically for being too good. Someone just said at some point, no one can react to anything faster than 0.1 seconds. And so the way they determine whether someone false started or not now is that if you react to the gun faster than 0.1 seconds, they disqualify you. Not if you leave before the gun goes off, which if we've all been to high school, college, track and field meets, that's sort of what you think of, right? You can't leave before the gun. Devin Allen literally left. It was determined by their auto replay. 0.999 seconds or 0.0999 seconds before or after the gun went off. And it was 0.001 seconds too fast. So they disqualified him and did not let him run in the world championship race in the short hurdles, in the sprint hurdles. I just like, can you, I mean, this, it feels like in basketball, if you say that the dude jumped too high while he was dunking or something, like he had a world-class reaction time after the gun went off and you DQ'd him for it. It does not make any fucking sense to me. And I literally can't imagine any other sport, baseball being like you pitch a baseball too fast. It doesn't count. You jump too high, you know, your rebound is invalid. It just doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. How is this a thing?
At the World Championships, and three people were disqualified at the World Championships yesterday on that rule, Tyler. They didn't go before the gun. They went too fast after the gun went off.
That's the dumbest shit.
There was a Canadian sprinter that said he goes off on the B of bang, not the G of bang. That's when, you know, and basically that's what he did. He went off on the B of bang instead of the G of bang from the gun. You know what I'm saying? And they disqualified him. And it's just wild that he moved afterwards. I don't know how that makes sense. You know what I mean? I don't know how that makes sense. And in track, don't you get one false start at that level instead of two?
Disqualified? Yeah, I don't remember what I think it, that might be for coming out early. I don't know, but in any event, they sent him off, and he's standing there with the replay official, like, you can't do this. Like, what? He's just like, this is a look of pure disbelief. Like, this is the World Championships. This is not like a prelim event. This is the Super Bowl. Like, this is the NBA Finals, and you're telling me. It's 0.001 seconds. I don't know, man. That shit is fucking crazy. Okay, I had a list when we were going to record last week. I had a list of shit we were going to talk about, and for the most part, I just deleted it, except there's one thing we had to talk about, because I'd never seen any statement like this in my fucking life, but someone named Delano on Twitter had the nerve to tweet, prior to getting married, I had not slept in a bed for 5 years. I had my own apartment, but slept on the floor and had no furniture other than a couch and wobbly table. The last 10 years have taught me a valuable lesson. Men build houses. Women make homes.
Motherfucker, why you couldn't build a bed, bitch? Like you talking all this building shit, motherfucker? You could, and one, the couch is right there. Why the fuck were you not sleeping on the couch, bro? This motherfucker slept for 5 years. He slept on the floor.
Number one is lying. But why do you lie that badly to make yourself look dumb as fuck, bro? You know what I'm saying? I don't understand the reasoning. Nothing about this makes sense, bro. You were that fucking helpless. You know what I'm saying? That fucking stupid. Wait, you have 3 pieces of furniture house because you couldn't even, that's not even, nigga, making a home, that's not even close, nigga, that's condemnable, motherfucker, you know what I'm saying? And why did your wife fuck with you when she walked in there seeing you living like a motherfucking pauper, nigga, and squalor, motherfucker,
living like a fucking
poverty,
possum,
you know what I'm saying?
Motherfucker living like a ferret, just sleeping on wood chips and fucking
did
newspaper
shavings. Did you have pots? Did you warm the shit up in your hands over the hot stove, nigga? The fuck? Boiling water in your hands? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? It's the wildest, silliest shit ever.
English paupers in the medieval ages would sleep in sacks filled with hay. Yeah. You know, they would sleep on some kind of padding. I mean, you would have to go back more than 1,000 years in the history of human development to find people that were willingly sleeping naked on the ground.
You paid rent to fucking live like you live in a cave, nigga. It's just the wildest, weirdest shit, dog.
Like, we invented beds before we invented roofs.
Dog. And like Tyler said, the couch, bro. Like, you did not even the couch. You just gonna sleep on the ground, bro. I mean, just none of this. Nothing adds up. Nothing adds up. And I get, yes, I do agree with the point he's making, but you don't have to go this far with the fucking ridiculousness. But hey, it was great content on Twitter. Good for him. He got the attention he wanted.
Yeah,
my nigga.
You know, I kind of see the premise he has because, you know, my wife's interior design and touch, it does make shit cozier and more and warmer and shit. She ain't never have to introduce me to what a bed was though, bro. I had a lifetime experience with those before I met her. I did not have to be introduced to the luxury of sleeping on a mattress before I met my wife.
Dog, nigga.
This man was out here. He was peeing on his face and stuff. I mean, this, you know what I mean? Like, this must be, I just like, this is like pre-developed human being thought. Like, how did you feed yourself, bro? Were you using forks? You know what I mean? Like,
I actually think eating with your hands is better than forks, but.
But from when you wake up to when you go to bed, everything you're interacting with was invented after the bed. You know what I mean? Special.
Makes no sense, dog.
Truly special.
Makes
and
no
I,
sense.
I definitely agree with you. I mean, like, I enjoy on Twitter, it feels like every 3 months it goes viral that, like, men would sleep on a, you know, empty boxes pushed together and have one piece of furniture in their house that they live by themselves. There's some truth to that, for sure.
Bro, one of my favorite threads. Some truth to that. One of my favorite threads ever is the thread of the homie sleep of homies sleeping over at their homie's crib on the couch and making a blanket out of anything. Have y'all seen that shit? Like, motherfuckers, yes. Motherfuckers on there with pizza boxes.
Oh, God damn.
Pizza boxes. One motherfucker was balled up, fetal position, zipped up in his coat, sleeping on that shit. It's a hilarious fucking thread. I need to find that shit, man.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. My fucking, like, brother had to talk me into getting a fucking bed with a headboard on it. You know what I mean? Like, my shit, I ordered my, like, box spring from fucking Amazon. The mattress was comfortable. We still have that. You know what I'm saying? But, bro, like, so I get it. I get all of that. I remember Tyler walked into my apartment when I first got in L.A. He's like, put some pictures up in this motherfucker, man. make this motherfucker feel lived in.
Make this motherfucker home, dog. This, right, shit,
you got a spot now, nigga. Put some pictures up, nigga. Make this motherfucker yours. This look like an Airbnb, nigga. But, shit. Had all the basics. I had a ton of sneakers. But only foundational shit on those outside of that. But yeah, man. So yeah, Rather's changed my life for the better. But god damn, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Sleep on
the ground. I would also add, by the way, the original point that he was making, I think, was in reference to a woman talking about how rewarding it was to be at home. So I would say that it's also, as with all of these stupid arguments, first of all, I just sincerely doubt. 5 years is a lot of nights, and I sincerely doubt he was laying on his collarbone and his shoulder for fucking 5 years straight and was still able to, like, stand. But also,
where did your wife sit when you brought her by the house, nigga?
On the
That's
couch,
what I'm saying. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You,
on the couch, like, oh, she was sitting on the couch, like, why do you not do this? What I'm doing right now.
Right, dog. This bro, simple? Shit.
But I would just add, it's like, yes, you know, women make a house a home, but, like, that doesn't have to be the only thing in the world they do. Delano. Delano. Oh, the only thing women do is save me from being a toddler.
Delano is like a black pirate name. You know what I mean? Like, of course he was living like that, no? Captain
his last
Delano.
His name is Squires, too. I didn't even want to give him the publicity of his whole ad. His name is Delano Squires.
Yeah, that's a Pirates of the Caribbean character for sure.
Right. That's a pointy mustache having ass nigga there, dog. That's a feather in your hat ass motherfucker right there, dog. Jesus
Cavalier
Christ.
Cavalier like nigga. A motherfucker. That was bro, right, right.
It must have been hard. It must have been hard to sleep on the floor with the tri-corner hat, bro, for sure.
Right, shit.
You roll over and just clunk all the way. Congrats shit. On being the Booger Boy of the Week, Delano. okay, the other tweet that was a little bit older, but that I think we discussed in the group chat and I had to bring up is Baltimore Bambi, who I'm happy to give attention to on Twitter because I love conspiracy theories on Twitter, said, y'all know there's whole restaurants where they inject the meat with your favorite celebrity's DNA and you're still out here pretending things are normal.
What the fuck?
The world is crazy enough and we find like more crazy, like that is where did she invent that? Did she invent that? You know what I'm saying? Conspiracy
that has to have come
or is,
off of YouTube or Facebook.
She might be the first person to come up with it. Maybe she's introducing it to the world on Twitter.
I just don't know how you, like, I've heard some doozies, but why do you even come forward with this one? Like, why do you not stop in your tracks and think, okay, they're extracting the DNA of Leonardo DiCaprio and putting it in the meatloaf at Old Charlie's. And that adds up to you. That makes sense to you. Really? Why? That's all I have to ask.
Can we talk about Old Charlie's having some fucking, superior bread? Listen, Old Charlie's bread is incredible, dog.
That's because you're eating James Earl Jones, bro.
Hey, James Earl Jones fucking bangs, bro.
James Earl Jones roll.
Hey, that shit, that motherfucker be busting.
The problem with this conspiracy theory, and I think people have pointed out, like, all conspiracy theories, if you follow them far enough back to their roots, it's all anti-Semitism, like, at some level. All conspiracy theories that survive involve regular people being used for the benefit of elite people.
Mm-hmm.
So Leonardo DiCaprio in a conspiracy theory is eating Tyler's DNA, not the other way around. They're not taking Meg the Tyler's DNA and giving it to me. Like, you know, that's what surprised me about this is you don't really see this, like, we're the ones that are siphoning off a select. It's always the flip side. So she turned the whole game on its head, really, with this conspiracy theory.
I'm intrigued. Nah, that's just still stupid because why the fuck?
I don't know, bro. One thing I did appreciate was that I'm not sure if it was more men or women who were talking about lining up for any type of meat that had been infused with Meg Thee Stallion's DNA.
Oh, my God.
Women were as excited about that possibility as men.
That girl, she's something special.
Bro, that video I sent, bro, like her personality, all that, bro.
Oh.
She's dreaming.
I have literal heart eyes right now. You can see my heart pulsing through my eyeballs. If you look closely enough, dog. God, I love Meg. She's
get
special.
That Meg, the fucking Meg ribeye.
You feel me?
The Meg eye.
You feel me? That nigga, give me a fillet of that for the sure ski.
All right. Before we go any further down
all the marble road. On that motherfucker. You feel? All the marble on that motherfucker. I don't even need no A1, none of that shit. Don't even season that shit. I want to taste the meat. All right, man. We good. Yes, Mike. Yes, Mike.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. eBay Motors is here for the ride. You know what I remember about my first car? Is that the moment I got it, I wanted to improve it. Because like most 16-year-old kids, you don't exactly get a luxury automobile. So you look at it, you go, well, I need to add some speakers. I need to tint out the windows. I need to make this thing the coolest car possible. So I can cruise around town with all my buddies, waving at the babes, and enjoy myself. So my favorite part of car culture when I was young was definitely the subwoofers in the back of the car. And we built the boxes from scratch, had multiple 12-inch subs, and you could hear me coming from a long, long way away. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This baseball season, turn K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. No-sweat bet I would make. I'm a huge Dodgers fan. They're on an absolute roll going into the All-Star game, so I would be all over every game they're in going forward at this point, basically. Lots of reasons to love betting on FanDuel. They have great promotions every day. The app is safe and secure, and you get paid fast. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code JNJ to get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's promo code JNJ, J-A-N-D-J. National disclaimer: must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Louisiana in permitted parishes only, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia, or Wyoming. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. From cringing at the pump to getting an eye-popping check at your favorite restaurant, inflation is hitting us all where it hurts, and it really hurts. That's why I started using Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With every purchase, I'm earning cash back thanks to Upside. My favorite feature to use with Upside is that it has the geolocation on it. So it'll tell you, oh, this is where the cheapest gas is close to you. This is where you can get cash back. It's super easy to use the app, and it is not too good to be true. I've used it, and it works. Upside is a no-brainer. For me, everyone on who listens to the pod knows I got kids, so the question, what do I plan to do with all my cash back, afford to continue to exist with children in this world? That's what I plan to do. To get started, download the free Upside app. Use my promo code Jenkins, that's J-E-N-K-I-N-S, and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Yeah, then you can claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside, check in at the business, pay as usual with a credit or a debit card, and get paid. In comparison to credit card rewards or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. So download the free Upside app and use promo code Jenkins to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code Jenkins, J-E-N-K-I-N-S. All right, let's talk about in developments of the universe. I want to talk about this happened. So John was on the DL with COVID. But before he went on the DL with COVID, it actually was arguably the best day of the pandemic to do it because you were out the day that the Webb satellite dropped its first images from deep space. And how much time have you all spent looking at these images? Did you like look at them real closely?
Yes. The shit that blew my mind was when the person tweeted out that everything you see here that doesn't have like spikes coming from it is a galaxy. I was like, oh my fucking God.
A galaxy, bro.
A galaxy. Like everything you're looking at that's on this map or photo or image or whatever has fucking 100 billion planets in it, right? Like, what the fuck?
Right.
There was that image of, like, I don't know, I think it was a galaxy, but there looked like you could peep into a different fucking, like, dimension.
You know I know the one you talk about. What that was a sun orbiting another sun. And so it was, like, creating this insane light effect because of the sort of arc that it was circumscribing. Yeah. You're exactly right. It looked like you were looking into another dimension.
You can't come up, like, you can't even, the images that I saw, you couldn't even come up with that in your brain. It's impossible how beautiful the universe is. Like, you can't, I've seen a bunch of paintings, artsy-ass, weird-ass nigga. There is nothing more beautiful than the shit we saw. You know what I'm saying? In those images, bro. I mean, just like the colors, I was I just stared at the shit. I mean, luckily, I mean, I was sick as fuck, but it did help me feel a little better. But, like, it was just insane, bro. I never seen anything like that in my life. I don't think, has anybody? Those are the,
no,
those are the most.
Are the, yeah, these those, are the best yeah. images best from the deepest images part ever, of space. Yeah. There was also a picture of, it looked like a wave washing up on a beach or something, but what looked like sand was the dust that existed because of the temperature in this area was high enough. It was like a nebula that was birthing new stars, which is like impossible to wrap your head around, actually.
what you know what is interesting is like we just exist here, right? We just right. exist here, you know, going to work, our 9-to-5s, you know what I mean? Go get my fucking, you know, I'm like drinking fucking Mellow Yellow, whatever. Fucking
nobody's drinking Mellow Yellow.
Getting our Mendocino, get our little treat, you know, for lunch.
Drinking our Zima, you know what I mean? Whatever the fuck. You know, anyway, no, but it's like we have these regular ass lives in this insane fucking universe where like shit, like you see these pictures, bro, and it's like, it's I don't think we can truly. I don't think our brains allow us to truly, truly fathom our existence, because I think we would like. It's so shocking. I don't think we should be able to fully fathom it. Like we would probably pass the fuck out every time right. we thought about the shit. You know what I mean?
Like Tyler was saying, the thing that was crazy seeing the picture with all the galaxies is like we're such a small part of our galaxy. Like, you know, like we're one planet in our solar system around the one sun, and that's already impossibly big.
Yeah.
Like we're thinking maybe at the height of our science, maybe we could get to one of those other planets.
Right. I think we've got like 100 billion planets in our galaxy and like 300 million of them are capable of sustaining life or some shit like
right.
that. So that's crazy to wrap your head around.
We are so meaningless. Like we like the fact that people walk around thinking like the most important thing
someone's stressed about their park. Someone who's listening to this right now is stressed about their parking spot.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Ego is so weird. Our ego is so weird. But like it's I just like seeing that just I from some people, I guess it's like maybe scary or whatever to think like we're so small. But I feel like it's. I feel like I feel free when I think about that. You know,
it's the
I
most comforting like, thought to me.
To me, it's so yeah. comforting to me. You know what I mean? So,
and I still stress about. I mean, we still have to like. Of course. You have to exist in society. Like, you don't want to be. You don't want to be sleeping on your floor. You know, we have to exist within the confines of our society. Like, I stress about my parking spot too. But I have to say, like, I was always someone who I struggled pretty badly as like a teenager with depression. And when I was in college, it turned into anxiety more so. I struggled with anxiety quite a bit. And the moment for me that sort of flipped everything was like a day that I realized I was going to die. And I actually really like you could say that, but it was just a day where for whatever reason, it actually hit me. Like, at yeah. some point, I'm just not going to exist. And then I won't exist again forever. And, like, that moment, it was like, oh, who gives a fuck? Like, who gives a fuck about, like, so what if someone doesn't like me? So what if I say something wrong? Like, I'm going to be dead. Like, whether I nail everything perfectly or I fuck everything up.
Same ending. At the end of same it, same ending. Dead. Same ending, bro. Regardless, bro. I forgot what comedian said this, but he was talking about how like how big of a joke life is in itself. Like God's a comedian, you know what I mean? We're like, we care about all these things, put this effort into all this shit, and then we just die, bro. Like you don't know when you just fuck, you know, it's just over with, and it's like, oh, you know what I mean? Like it's like how, like for me, it's like, you know, hey, let me just enjoy the experiences. My mom is always talking about life is about relationships because that's really what matters. This is my experiences here with the people that I love. That's all that'll ever matter to me. Like that's all that'll matter to me in the end. Yeah. You know what I mean? And but yeah, like it's just wild. We put all this effort and energy into all these things. You know what I mean? Like and then it's over.
Yeah, it's you know it. You know, like Mike said, a lot of people freak out about that. But yeah, it's comforting as hell to me knowing that one day it's just not gonna be. You know what I mean? Like it's just gonna be the end. Like one of the funniest fucking quotes ever was Danny DeVito on Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and they were talking about, you know, what he wanted his plans to be after he died. And he was like, it's like, I'll be dead. Just throw me in the trash. I don't care. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, bro, I'm like the same way. Like, I've had these discussions with, like, you know, my wife and my family. I'm like, bro, I don't care about a funeral, none of that shit. Just, you know what I'm saying, cremate me for like $500 or whatever the fuck. You know, get the Tuesday special deal or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Groupon that motherfucker if you got to. I do not care after I'm gone, bro.
Right.
I told my mom she could throw me on Highway 70. I said, I ain't gonna give a fuck. I'm gonna be dead, right, nigga. Fuck me. This for y'all, not for me, nigga. Do what y'all wanna do. You know what I mean? Like, shit.
I told Shia, whatever everyone else wants to do.
Right. I just don't want nobody crying over me on some, like, banding up together crying. Like, nigga, it's like, bro. I don't know.
The other thought I had looking at the photos, and the one other thing I wanted to mention was, I think we've all watched the Planet Earth documentary several times, I think. Yes. Mm-hmm. The first time I watched that documentary, and they showed the like plants growing in the with the sped up video, the time lapse video, and you could see them reaching towards the sun. Mm-hmm. And like, because they'd sped the video up, I was just sitting there like, plants are alive in a different way than we think they are. Like, we're just too fast to appreciate mm-hmm. the way that they're moving. And looking at these photos, that's what I was thinking of, was like, the entire universe is the same way. Like, somewhere right now, in the same existence we live in, stars are being born, like, created, just like out of hot areas, new stars are being born. The Big Bang, the way that, like, galaxies themselves orbit and rotate, we just can't see it. But if we were, like, if you believe in God, if you believe in an omniscient being or whatever, that's the perspective you'd have of, like, oh, these solar systems, these galaxies are moving. Like, they're active. It's not, like, static. Like, everything is moving and, like, in action. And that is, I don't know, that blew my fucking mind. That's what blew my mind, is, like, if my eyes were big enough, I could see this star orbiting another star, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think our thought of life is just, how we think about life is just the lowest level of thinking, you know what I mean? Where, like, if you look at the sun, you wouldn't say it's living, but is anything more alive than the sun?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, or, you know, I don't know, bro. Like,
what,
like,
Neil deGrasse Tyson's book said, like, every human being has more living bacteria in their intestines than there are human beings on the earth.
God damn.
It's just,
what?
That's crazy. Do you remember, like, his greatest fear? Like, he was saying that his greatest fear is that extraterrestrial, you know what I'm saying, like, life forms have come, you know what I'm saying, to Earth.
Yeah.
But because, like, but it's like kind of like us walking by a worm, that we were so unintelligent that it was worthless for them to even try to communicate with us. They couldn't even imagine thinking of communicating with us because they're just so more advanced than we are. Like, that motherfucker think differently, bro. And I guess he would, being that he's, you know, he's hip to things like what you just said. He has that information, just, you know, but that's crazy.
The other thing that big picture of all the galaxies sort of drove home was something that was in one of Neil deGrasse Tyson's books about, we can measure, like, the rate that things are expanding, the rate things are moving from the Big Bang, so from 13 point whatever billion years ago. Mm-hmm. And we are moving, we are also moving, and we're moving further away from these other parts of the universe. And because light has a speed, at some point we will recede to where we can't see these other things. They will exist in the universe, but light can't travel fast enough to get to them.
Mm.
That was like, that's insane. He said, like, you know, you go far enough in the future, all these galaxies could be, like, we could be by ourselves. We might not, like, if you fast forward some billion years in the future, there might not be stars in the sky because their light couldn't reach us.
What the fuck?
Oh, Jesus Christ. So our I don't understand. So so we're moving faster than the speed of light, the rate at which we're moving away from the wherever the Big Bang.
No, but it's like a certain amount of time traveled or something. I don't remember.
Because, like, if their light, if we're moving at the same time, I'm thinking the light would be able to, we can still see the light. The star might not exist
anymore. Universe is expanding. Yeah. Right. But, like, yeah, and like a lot of the stars that we can see, including the stars in that picture, that's from billions of years ago.
That star might not exist anymore.
Thanos might have already blown all of it up.
Right, right.
And we just wouldn't know for like another billion years. You know what I mean?
We'll see like a white dwarf and that shit happen. You know what I'm saying? Like that. Or like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fucking billions of years ago.
That's crazy.
We're just now seeing it happen. That's crazy.
From the galactic to the microscopic, we... I wanted to talk about COVID because all three of us have had some kind of an experience in our house, and I just don't really see anyone particularly talking about it. It just feels like it's like we ripped the Band-Aid off. Everyone's gonna get it. Like we were at I was at Dodger Stadium on Saturday. This is like a liberal part of the country. I think there was like 6 people wearing masks of the 30,000 people who were there. Like. Where are we right now as a country? This is just going to happen over and over again? Like, what do we, I mean, in our families, we have kids that are too young to get the vaccine. We have immunocompromised people. Like, I don't know what we're supposed, like, as a man in my family, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You know what I mean? I just feel like we're just kind of all out here by ourselves at the moment. And I know, John, I was talking to you when, you guys are having your experience. It's like, There's no guidance. There's no, like, I had COVID, like, and then, like, less than a month later, my whole family got it. Right. And I'm, like, looking for, like, can I still be around them? Like, I did. That's what I decided to do. But, like how long is my immunity? There's just, I didn't see any information out there without having to, like, dive into studies and stuff. It just seems insane to me.
Bro, like, what was weird to me is, like, I had a revelation probably, like, I don't know, 6 months ago where I was like, I was looking at Somi and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to keep this away from you. I think like that when the last Omicron strain was spread, I was like, it's going to get you at some point. And it finally got us after 2.5 years. I did my best to try to keep that motherfucker away. Bro, I was anywhere where I wasn't on camera, I was wearing a mask. And then somebody on camera caught it, gave it. So it's just, you know, like it's, you can't avoid it. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I'm going back to wearing my mask. Like I'm going back to wearing my mask again. Fuck that. I saw what it did to my shorty. You know what I'm saying? She had a crazy temp. You know what I mean? Like she's still kind of tired a little bit, but every day, I'm like, dog, I'm not. No, bro. But it's weird. Like this shit is not normal. I worked out yesterday. I told you in group chat. I was like, bro, I don't know these lungs, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I was working out, I'm like, these lungs are not my lungs, nigga. These are not the same lungs I had last week. You feel me? Like, from just lifting, not even doing cardio shit. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't think that's normal. I don't think we should treat it like it's fucking normal. I don't think my daughter having that type of temperature is normal for a whole fucking day. Having to take medicine and being tired the way she is right now. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not going to act like this shit's normal. My homie Laz, the golf nigga that I fuck with, golf nigga. he hit me up. It was like he was at the airport. He was saying that everybody's coughing. Bro, I'm not acting like, bro, I'm wearing my mask. I'm doing the same shit I was doing prior. Hopefully I can keep it away for another 2 years, 2.5 years, just like I did prior. But I mean, like, dog, I mean, like you said, there's no guidance. You know, our nanny's back. You know, we had like the 5-day shit. She's wearing a mask still. I'm the only one not wearing a mask because I had my symptoms much earlier than my family. But, dog, I mean, no, man, I'm looking at rather like, you know, I'm wiping her down with fucking rag, you know, like a cold rag at night trying to. Bro, this shit ain't. I'm not acting like none of this shit was normal, bro. You know what I mean? So, you know, but and yeah, it's just, I don't know. Maybe because I'm the one that caught it, I felt horrible about it. But, yeah, dude, like, nah, I'm back to wearing my mask just like I never got the shit. Fuck you mean. Nah, none of this shit's normal.
Yeah, I've been wearing my mask, you know, everywhere for fucking, you know, 2.5 years or however long we've been going through this shit. I caught it when we went out to New York. You know what I'm saying? That shit had me fucked up for like 2-3 days. I had to leave a crib. You know, I quarantined in a hotel just to make sure my wife didn't catch the shit. And I don't know. It feels like, you know, I knew that it was eventually going to happen. You know what I mean? Even though I was, you know, out here vigilant as fuck about being masked up all the time, vaccinated up, but you just got to charge the shit to the game, it seemed like, bruh.
Bro, you saw me on, I was doing, rapping, EI, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, and fucking, I still have my mask on. One of the two motherfuckers in the whole arena that had my mask on. Still caught the vid, bro. I wear that motherfucker everywhere, bro. And what pissed me off is, I came home, had a knot in my throat. I'm like, this feel different. Let me look it up. Not a COVID symptom. Cool. I take two tests the next day, both of them negative. And I'm gonna just sleep. I'll hear just in case on the couch. I'm not sleeping with my family just to make sure. Same, you know what I'm saying? Woke up, you know what I'm saying? Still testing negative. I said, I got COVID. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. This ain't my body. This ain't normal. You feel me? Rather's like, you know, you testing negative. I'm like, no, I put a mask on, went to the hotel, got a hotel for a few days. By that night, Somi had the shit. Somi, I woke up at 4:30 to a text or rather saying that Somi had a high-ass fever. I'm like, nigga, I did everything I could. And why the fuck you giving us these fucking tests if it ain't gonna help our goddamn families? Nigga, I knew I had COVID by the time the motherfucker told me. You know what I'm saying? By the time it test positive, I was back home. Give us a motherfucking test where I can be like, you know, I can at least help my motherfucking family out. Well, you know what I'm saying? That's what pissed me the fuck off. I'm like, goddamn, why you send us these weak ass tests? I know I got the vid. I don't need to tell you. You need to tell me I got the vid at that motherfucking point. My whole family got the shit now, motherfucker.
But there's no clear guidance. Shut the shit out of Byron ass,
Joe Byron weak ass, bitch ass nigga. Non-reading ass motherfucker. Anyway.
There's no guidance on what to do at that point either, where you're like, you know, the CDC says 5 days after your first symptom, but there's also people that are saying, there's epidemiologists on Twitter saying, no, that's not true. You got to wait for a negative test. When I had it, it took 2 weeks for me to get a negative test.
10 days.
I was isolating, you know, from my wife and kids, who still ended up getting it. But like, I had to text you about the Paxlovid, the antiviral. The antiviral, this Paxlovid shit, it's almost as big a deal as a vaccine. But I think only old people even know that it exists.
Also, you can have kidney issues, though. It can cause kidney issues. So you have to get your kidneys tested as well.
You have to go through all these screenings. But like, and so to get it, like in a world that made sense, accurate tests and the antiviral would be everywhere, right? Mm-hmm. Like you'd walk into a stadium and they'd be like, here's some tests. Like,
they ain't testing. But like, even like I was tripping, like being on camera and shit like that. It's not normal to test people before they, you know what I mean? Like, that could have prevented from some shit. That could still prevent shit. But they just acting like the shit the flu. That shit ain't the flu. And I, like Tyler said, I was only sick for like a few days. I wasn't down bad. My throat dragged out. But I think I was only really sick for 2 days. The other three days, I had some because it was on my wife's ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm like, yo, babe, just sleep, take medicine. I got, you know, whatever. But like, I'm nervous, like, damn, I'm wondering about the long COVID shit, you know what I'm saying? Why is it
your
body different? And like, it's, bro, like, this shit is not normal. Quit playing about this shit. Well, and I feel like they playing with us.
And on the antiviral shit, so my mom had it when she was out here staying with us. My mom's turning 70 next month. We've been real careful. I've been making sure she's being real careful. I was being more careful with her than she was at the start of the pandemic. But she's both vaccine shots, both boosters, right? Mask everywhere outside the house, et cetera, et cetera. Still gets it. So, you know, she had symptoms. Day two, I'm like, we need to make sure you get this antiviral because it's supposed to be really effective in preventing the long COVID stuff. With older people, obviously, that's like a really big concern.
For sure.
So to get the antiviral, my mom had to spend like 4 hours on the phone because she's down here. She lives in Washington. So she had to spend 4 hours like doing screening. She did an initial screening and then they sent her to a nurse. The nurse decided if she qualified, and after that long conversation, then she had to wait for a doctor to call her back. Then she had another long conversation with the doctor, then they prescribed the shit. And my mom has health insurance. She has good health insurance. She was a state employee in Washington, and it took her 4 hours on the phone to get this shit. Most of my friends don't have 4 hours. They're watching their kids. If you're working an hourly job, you're not taking time off to sit on the phone and try and figure this out. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. That's the thing that doesn't make sense. There's no clear guidance, and we're not giving people the tools they need to make sure that they're good in the long run easily, you know?
But also, like, with that Paxlovid, like, my sister, she said she's not necessarily comfortable prescribing it yet. Our sister-in-law, you know what I'm saying? Our future sister-in-law, you know what I mean? Said that she's a pediatrician. She says not necessarily comfortable, you know,
I wouldn't give it to my kids for sure, but so, for my mom, it's all about that risk, right?
No, yeah, but I'm saying though, like, so like, you got shit out that people aren't comfortable with, You know what I'm saying? But stuff that could help, but people don't know about either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like on both ends, it's just fucking ridiculous to me. And then, like you said, we don't know if it's 5 or 10 days. What the fuck are we doing? And then we got these tests that don't tell us shit till we already know we got the shit. You know what I mean? What the fuck is happening, bro?
And it's to the point where, like, I mean, Shar and I made this comment to each other when this recent spike kind of started a couple of weeks ago. Like, when you see people out in public wearing masks at this point, I still think it's like, this person probably has it. And it's just, well, I'm going to keep living my life normally, but I'll just wear a mask. Like, that's the crazy shit. I don't know, man. So I don't even know if mask wearing is effective with this strain, whatever. I just don't even know. But all I know is it's fucking crazy that this is just like fell to the background so much. I feel like so many people I know who had never had COVID got it in the last 2 weeks.
Bro, like this one ain't playing, bro.
Yeah.
This variant is not fucking playing, dog. Bro, like I said, Laz went to the airport and everybody was coughing. No mask on.
Summer cold.
Bro, right. At least, right, right. Bro, at least create, like, you know, we are Cali, nigga. It's a blue-ass state, you know what I mean? We should at least have a mask mandate. And it should be a federal one with flying. I don't like flying with one, but I do it, nigga. I hate wearing a mask, but I do it, nigga. Fuck all the dumb shit, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit.
Well, L.A. County is about to go back to having an indoor mask mandate, but I just saw an L.A. Times story where even the public health people are like, yeah, we don't really think people are going to do it. But the rules we currently have say we're going to do it. So, it's crazy, bro.
They ain't got to tell me. I'm going to wear mine. Regardless. Yeah. Fuck it. Hopefully it works. You know what I mean? But we'll see. We'll see.
All right. Before we get out of here, this is difficult to talk about. But I just know all three of us wanted to express love for Jack Knight and his family and his friends and the people that he worked with and wrote with. Special dude, gone way too soon, for those that don't know, passed away last week. And I know he was a fan of Jenkins and Jones, and all three of us were big fans of his. And I don't really have a lot more to say about it than that. But I just wanted to express my love, and I know you guys felt the same.
Yeah, you know, got the news Friday night, and that shit just punched me in my stomach, bro. Like, 28 years old, so young, and the kid was, you know, we all watched Bust Down, all loved it. It is a remarkable show. If you haven't seen it, please go run it up. And, you know, my biggest takeaway from Bust Down was, of course, you know, we had the discussion where everyone is hilarious. There's not, like, a wasted line of dialogue. There's not a wasted character. Everyone is hilarious. Mm-hmm. But the show kind of felt like, even though everyone had the spotlight, it felt like it kind of revolved around Jack Knight a bit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he was kind of the central figure a little. And it just seemed like he was just right on the brink of just making, you know, doing some huge things. And, you know what I'm saying? And he was such a good dude, a genuine dude. And I was like, yo, good for him. He deserves it. And now he's not here anymore. And it just sucks, man. It's just a sad story.
I mean, he accomplished so much. Future was stamped, bro. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, the day when he told me, you know, that he was a fan of the pod or whatever, right? That was his television. That was Bust Down premiere. That's his television show premiere. He walks up to me. That's how humble of a motherfucker he was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's how humble he was. Walks up to me, tell me, I was shocked. Like, what the hell?
You know said, what I mean? You told us, you were like, you think I look like a different dude than I am.
Right, right. Whatever, right. My wife thought it was the same. She thought, like, okay, yeah. He just think he looked like somebody else. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, just just so kind. When I told him how funny he was, I said, I haven't laughed like that since the Chappelle show. He looked at me confused, like, bro, you ain't got a lot of me. You know what I mean? I'm like, right. But it was true. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just so kind. You know what I mean? Talk to my wife. So sweet. You know what I mean? And it's just, I know it never feels fair when this happens, but it just feels so wrong to me. Feels so wrong. He accomplished so much. He was so kind, so humble. He was watching his show like he was a fan of the show. Like, he was laughing like he was a fan, right. You know what I mean? Like, he had this a childlike, you know what I'm saying, energy about him where he was just full of joy in a way that adults aren't. You know, he saw the world in a way that, you know, like, you know, I don't want art, they tell us to look at the world that way because it's a beautiful way to see the world, but it's hard to do that as an adult. He had managed to do that. It's just, I don't know, it's just so sad. Like you said, Tyler, when he, when I saw the news, I was like, it's hard to believe because it just shouldn't be the way it ended. You know what I mean? It just shouldn't be the way, but I don't know, man. God bless him and his family, man, for sure, man, and his friends. Definitely thinking about him. You know, if I feel the way I feel, we feel the way we feel about it, I can't imagine how they feel about it. So definitely thinking about them.
All right. That's all the time we got for the show. We will be back in the middle of the week. We're back on schedule for the rest of the summer. So thank you. Thanks again for being understanding. Obviously, as I think you've heard in the show, there's been a lot of various heavy topics on our mind. And it actually really means a lot to me that the listeners of our show didn't hop on our mentions like, "You're fucking up my summer." I need
cowards.
More podcasts. Yeah, you pussy. Where's my podcast?
The Warriors won. You don't want to show your faces for the summer.
All right, man. We'll see y'all later in the week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.